Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and part two of our two-part special study titled, We're Gonna Fly.
How many times you hear somebody dies and they say, well, the heaven just needed another angel? Yeah, that's not biblical. You're not going to die and become an angel. But, it'll be close. Mark 12:25, read that with me. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And over, what are the angels called in Job? Do you know? Remember? What are the angels called in Job? Sons of God. Who said that?
Back there.
Somewhere back there. Okay. I just... playing games with me, are they? Where'd that voice come from? Sons of God in Job. You read that? Job chapter 1. Read first. Sons of God. Amen. Okay. What are you called?
I'm an heir.
To them that believe on Him.
To them gave you the power to become the sons of God.
Angels are sons of God. You're called sons of God. You are going to be as the angels in heaven. Not the exact same thing as the angels. But it's close. Do you believe angels fly? I've never met a person that doesn't think angels fly. angels fly. You're going to be as the angels.
So that one flew to Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt angels fly. I mean, Gabriel was fighting with the Prince of Persia and Grisha, and Michael had to come and fight for him. Because Gabriel's a messenger, and Michael's a fighter. And just as Gabriel and the other angels, the sons of God, fly, you're going to be as the angels. Angels can fly. We'll be able to fly. Just another piece of evidence there to line it up. We were standing before, you know, and that's the way you should study the Scripture when you're studying out questions you have. You should present all the evidence just like you're in a trial. And you present all the facts and the evidence. And I'm here to tell you that the only evidence against the biblical teaching that we're going to fly, the only evidence is unbelief. The only evidence is you don't believe the Bible. That's all there is. There's no evidence to not believe. Now we're going to do a little thing here. I want you to turn to Isaiah 60. And we're going to read a few verses. Now you've kind of been tipped off, so you're probably going to, you might pick up on obviously what we're talking about today. But I want to show you how easy it is to not pay attention and to not get some of these nuggets that are in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 60, and we're going to start in verse 5. Isaiah 60,
okay.
And verse 5. All right, now I'm going to read, but I want you to read along, okay? This is just verses 5 and 6. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, the multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. We're talking about the millennial kingdom. We're talking about when you and I have already been raptured, we've already been to the judgment seat of Christ, we've already celebrated the marriage supper of the Lamb, we've already returned with Jesus Christ and established His kingdom. We are now ruling and reigning with Him. And He's talking about what the conditions are. And you see all these people coming from all over the world, and they're bringing their gifts, and they're praising the Lord. And it says in verses 7 and 8, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Verses 9 and 10, surely the isle shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because He hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee, for in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor I have had mercy on thee, etc., etc. I have read that. I read that. I don't know how many times I read it. I read through Isaiah. I studied through Isaiah. And then one day, as I was reading it again, verse 8. Right in the middle of this description of the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, just like nothing, he's just describing, and all of a sudden it's like he's describing what he's seeing, and it's almost like he looks up and says, "Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows?" Isaiah's, yeah, he's sitting there, but he's looking at people. And he's asking, "Who are these people flying around like a cloud? And as the doves to the windows?" In other words, you want to go, I'm at my house, I want to go over and see Lee, I'm just going to fly over. Right there in the middle of it all. He's not talking about angels. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Listen, I know it sounds wild, but it's there. It's Bible. I mean, you know, I've spent years in church before I became the pastor and heard story after story, message after message on 4 points on how to have a wonderful family, and I just never saw any evidence that really helped the families much. Unless those families had a bunch of people who were committed to the Lord, then that's the key. I mean, how many times do you have to say that? I look at our family and I say, you know what? If you guys aren't serious about your relationship with the Lord, if you're not in the Word, you're not praying, you're going to fall. We had 2 boys, 3 girls, me and Jenny. It's true about every one of us. You get away from the Lord, you're going to fall. All these books, all these tapes, all these videos about family, how much of that stuff you need before you realize, you know what? What we really need is just for everybody in the family to be Spirit-filled, serving the Lord. That's it. It is that simple. You want 12 steps to a happy life? Man, you don't need 12 steps. You must be born again. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Pray without ceasing. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Preach the gospel to every creature. Bingo! You just got it. Amen. That's all. 12-step programs to get off of booze? You don't need 12 steps. Don't ever go to a bar again. Don't ever pick up a bottle of whiskey, wine, or whatever your thing is. Stay away from the people who feed it to you. Go to church. Of course, you need to be born again if you're not. Be filled with the Spirit. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Pray without ceasing. Preach the gospel to every creature. Blah, blah, blah. Bingo! You got it! You don't need Alcoholics Anonymous where they all go in and say, "I pray to my higher power. Today I think it's that exit sign." You know, that's what they have. They literally do that. They say it doesn't matter who your higher power is, as long as you have a higher power. Yeah, it matters. Because if you ain't talking to Jesus, your higher power is Lucifer. I don't care if it's an exit sign or you want your pet to be your higher power. It doesn't matter behind that, Lucifer. Compare Isaiah 60 verse 8 we just read. Who are these that fly as a cloud? Remember what it said about Jesus? He was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. I don't know how to explain that, but it just seems like when you fly, there's like a cloud. I don't know what that means. But one of these days I'm going to figure it out. I don't know. That's a good point, but I don't think, yeah, there's the reference to a cloud of witnesses. But there's other places where it's clear it's not talking about people. And he's received up in a cloud. Who are they that fly as a cloud? I mean, over and over. I don't know what that means. But maybe it is that since Isaiah isn't glorified there, maybe it is when we fly, whatever spiritual power we have, that when we fly, the mortals that are still on earth, when they see it, they'll see a cloud. It's like we'll be some kind of a mist or something around us in their eyes. Then they see. I don't know. That's what I get out of it. But it's about the same thing, is what I'm saying. You compare the two. Now, I mentioned this a little bit ago. Think of all the worldly music counterfeiting this. How many songs are, "I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky." Try jumping off a building and doing that, R. Kelly. You aren't going to fly. That's a counterfeit. How many, At least they used to sing about being up, up, and away in a beautiful balloon. But I mean, how many of the songs you know about flying? You know, it's counterfeit. There's a bunch of other ones, but I'm not real in touch with the modern music. I've heard some, like R. Kelly. I don't listen to R. Kelly, but I just happened to hear that 10,000 times walking through grocery stores and everywhere I went for, what year was that? It's a few years ago, but they're everywhere. But think of all the fictional characters.
Peter Pan,
that's right.
Yeah. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Superman.
Yeah, think of all those. They're just mimicking. But people almost, it's like, even though we know they're fictional, it's almost like it's almost believable. I mean, people believe in them. But they have trouble believing what the Bible says about believers being raptured, flying out of here. They have trouble believing that during the kingdom we're going to fly, just like Jesus. Their only problem is, like I said, it's unbelief. Think of this whole UFO and alien thing. And how closely, if you look beyond some of the trappings, you just look at the basic elements of these, like Avatar. Parts of the, like Men in Black. Parts of the things you see in Independence Day. Skyline. These different, you know, Star Wars. I can't remember all these different movies. Through the years. Where you have something that in one way or another, they show people able to fly. And some it's the, you know, invasion of the body snatchers, you know, that sort of thing. It's all playing off on that. But what you're going to find is that the world wants to counterfeit it in a way that either makes you mock the idea or that you expect something different than what the Bible's talking about. Just like I said, millions, folks, you don't understand, if you've never really looked into it, it's mind-boggling how many people are involved in this whole New Age movement by many other names. The whole emergent church thing, the new spirituality, new thought, all these groups, they are all into this stuff where now they totally discount the idea of the rapture, but they're buying into the idea that we can evolve and reach a point where we can do the things that we're supposed to do in a glorified state. It's all counterfeit. And this is what they're fighting against. It's in Revelation 19. We've read it many weeks ago here on Sunday, but I want you to go ahead and turn there. Revelation 19. I always say it's the easiest book to find because it's the last one. Go to the last book of the Bible, almost to the end of that book, Revelation chapter 19. What the world doesn't want to believe is that what you're about to read is going to happen. And this is why people don't like what they call fundamentalist Christians. Right here. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. I'll read verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. What was it we heard Ruckman say last night about the tender Jesus? You know, Jesus loves the little children and all that. And like I said, that's all true. But that's his first coming. And we're experiencing His grace and His long-suffering, His mercy now. But when He comes the second time, it's not baby Jesus. It's not all Jesus loves the little children. And it's look at those last few words. That's why Jesus is coming the second time. He doth judge and make war. Get your concordance out and see how many times it talks about God being a God of war. But it's always in reference to His return. A consuming fire. And in verse 12, read that with me. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. You know, I've said this openly to you. I've wondered when we are judged at the judgment seat of Christ, it says that our works will burn. And somehow, I don't know, you know, still how to exactly describe it. But I keep referring to this because I didn't know that I was going to have a chance to watch this. But Jenny watched it with me and a preacher down Pensacola. And he was talking about how that whatever it is that's put out there to be judged, it's like his eyes will just be able to look and up in smoke. His eyes are as a flame of fire. On his head many crowns. He had a name written no man knew but he himself. And then verse 13. Read that. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He comes flying in on a white horse. There's blood up to the horse's bridle in the valley of Megiddo. He conquers his enemies, and he actually then walks on the dead with his horse, and his vesture gets bloody. And he goes right up on that horse onto the Mount of Olives. And then he walks right into Jerusalem and establishes his kingdom. But look what it says in verse 14. Read that with me. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us. Armies, plural. Why? Because I believe there'll be an army of saints and an army of angels. And they will follow him upon white horses. Why is it clothed in fine linen, white and clean? Because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ on. Not our own righteousness. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And so we have His righteousness on. And that's why we're in fine linen, white and clean. And we are going to then fly in on white horses behind Jesus. And as we stated at the very beginning, there's many things in the Bible that are crystal clear, and this is one of them. We're going to fly. Now, to me, that's much more encouraging and positive than just the power of positive thinking. Just this mushy stuff of saying, oh, you're just wonderful. You're something good's going to happen. You know, just emptiness. I bought a CD yesterday for 50 cents at a thrift store, and it was Songs of Inspiration. It was put out like in the 70s. And it was like, if you wish upon a star. You know, it had a church on the front and everything. I mean, it's supposed to be Songs of Inspiration. And it was all this stuff. It was like, I said to myself, what a wonderful world. You know, think about that. And that's what Christianity has become to most people today who call themselves Christians. That's what it's become. It's just a, you know, tap dance and a, you know, everybody happy. Yeehaw, the candy man can, you know. Now, Christianity is still what it always has been. It's about the fact that you are a dirty, filthy, lawless, wicked sinner who deserves to burn in hell for eternity. Yep. Who can make the sun rise?
Oh.
That's what it's about. And then there's this holy, just, perfect God. And if you enter into His presence having no payment for sin, having not put on His righteousness, you go to a lake of fire. That's it. But if you will believe on His Son who died for your sins, was buried and rose again, conquering sin and death, flew to heaven, and promised to fly back and to receive you unto Himself, that where He is, you may be also, then you're saved. You have nothing to worry about. You're eternally saved. Now, that's not only positive, it's actually true. Big difference. You can be as positive as you want, but if it's not true, How many times you've seen people die and then you go to the funeral knowing there was no profession of faith, no evidence of salvation. And the preacher and the people say, well, they're in a better place now. I have enough tact and mercy and compassion to keep my mouth shut. But I want to walk up and say, how is burning in hell a better place? That's reality. And the truth should be preached to those who are still alive. I've said this before. I've explained it to you when I've done funerals. I don't stand up there and say, well, this man right now is writhing in hell where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth and he is being tormented for his sin. I mean, I could do that. It'd be true. But I've got enough compassion. So what do? I say, you know what? Your loved one has departed. It's too late. No more life. He's gone to his place. That's all I say. The question is, where are you going when your day comes? You look up and see this body in this coffin. Your day's coming. Amen. Those of you who are going to live forever and never die, please share your secret with us. No one's ever taken me up on that request. So that is what you preach to the living, because if they will believe and be saved, then they don't have to worry about going to where that person went. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this truth from Scripture. We thank you for giving us faith. As you said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All of our faith comes from your Word.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.